The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning.
I think we're live.
We're trying to be live.
You are live.
We are live. Good morning. Morning, Bob.
Morning, Bill.
We're working on a little less chaos.
Are you Bill on the air?
Yeah, this is not Elizabeth this morning.
This is not Eddie.
It's no, Elizabeth 2.0.
Yeah, Elizabeth 2.0. Well, good morning. Morning, Aaron.
Nobody could figure out who wanted to take Elizabeth's opening line.
Exactly.
Right. You know, it's funny because that's what she told me to do. She just said, say what Elizabeth says. And I was going to open with, hi, this is Elizabeth and Aaron. But I probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, that seemed weird.
Yeah, that was a little work. Well, welcome to We the People Radio. We're chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you you want to join us on the chat, that's where you join us on the chat, right?
That's
there.
That's the location.
That's the location.
Wethepeopleradio.us.
Yeah, that's where you go. But if you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567.
And don't do it at 2 minutes to the hour.
No, and don't do it then. Otherwise, you'll be running on pure adrenaline like we are right now.
So now it's Bill, Aaron, and Bob. Huh. Seems surprisingly short.
For people who maybe haven't tuned in the last couple of weeks, maybe we need to bring them up to speed on Where's Elizabeth?
Oh, you mean the big surprise we got last week at 9:30?
Yeah, we had a shot.
It's like, hey.
I'm sorry.
Out of a cannon.
Can I say that on a radio?
Out of a cannon to Utah. Yeah, we kind of knew she was moving. Knew she was moving. It's hey, so how's that house thing going? Oh, well, escrow closed. Oh, wow, so when are you guys leaving? Because, you know, we want to make sure that we announce when it's our last show. Oh, well, this is my last show. So,
when were you planning on telling us?
It's like, okay, well, we had 25 minutes left, so, I mean, don't, you know.
Yeah, we had like 3 minutes for a going away party. It was a doozy.
Yeah, don't get out in front of everybody. I had somebody walk up to me in REU paying an electric bill, and a guy walks up to me and goes, wow, that was a bombshell last week with Elizabeth leaving. I was like, okay, I guess people do know. So, anyway.
Yeah.
If Elizabeth sounds like a man, she is. And, got to think about those guys today. They are driving their moving van themselves to Utah.
To Utah.
Actually, driving the moving van would probably be awesome. It's the loading part that probably sucked the worst. That was yesterday.
Yesterday we had to do a little driving as well. We left. We had to go on a required road trip and got home at 2:30 this morning. And
yeah, it was awesome.
That was great.
The company Christmas party.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Ooh, boy,
where the people who worked there had to all wear the same tie.
Yeah, I was excited about that personally.
Like, welcome to the Christmas party. Here's your tie.
Yeah, because they just want to make sure everybody that was there actually worked there, I think.
Well, I don't know. So I thought it was like, don't think about wearing a T-shirt, even though it's at a guy's house.
Yeah.
Make sure you wear a shirt that can have a tie.
You can say whatever you want about the party. I got to be careful there, because you never know who's listening.
It did end with somebody with a tie around their head, though. It always ends that way.
Yeah, there was a ninja in the crowd.
Ninja tie. I was going to say samurai tie. I got my guys wrong.
Yeah.
Lori says she didn't hear the show yesterday. She just found out.
Said Elizabeth was missing?
She didn't hear the show last week. She just found out yesterday.
See, you know, doesn't Carl say miss a day, miss a lot? Isn't that like his, I don't know if that's a slogan or a phrase. It could be either.
It could be either.
I think we need to start with.
It's true.
Yeah, see, miss a day, miss a
spit it out, Bob.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes
easy for you to say.
Sometimes I
that's what I was going to say.
Overthink these things.
Apparently. So, yes, Elizabeth and Dan have moved so they can, so Dan can get more work. You know, another casualty of California and the awesome economy. And, you know, if you're a registered professional forester,
We didn't cut down all the trees in California. That's why he left.
No, that's not it. Although, you know, I have heard that or read that. I think I read it.
Yeah.
On a blog somewhere.
Yeah, he can come back in another 150 years when they're grown back.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
We've chopped them all down.
Well, they are a great example of why California is losing people to other states, whether it's Utah or Texas or Nevada or wherever.
I know. We're always running into. Do you do that too? Are you always running into somebody who's
in all walks
leaving?
Of life.
People tend to go where the jobs are.
Even the great radio personalities are leaving. It's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, how could you leave this?
All this.
We the people turns into me the people. I'm like, what?
Hello?
Elizabeth? Anyone?
Now, we're going to have to get Elizabeth hooked up with Prairie Dog Guy in Cedar City, Utah.
I know. She's moving to the Prairie Dog Guy's town.
Yeah. And
there's only, I think she said 60,000 people there?
Something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
This is bad. It's either 30 or 60, and those are really different.
Well, I can look that up.
But it's one of them.
But he has his own radio show there, doesn't he?
I don't know. The Prairie Dog guy
did? He wanted the Prairie Dog music and all of that?
Yeah,
that
you're right.
Yeah.
I don't even remember his name. Munson.
Yeah.
Munson.
Yep. Munson, the Prairie Dog guy. So we told Elizabeth to go catch up with the Prairie Dog guy.
We may have another gig for you.
Yeah, and they can
need serious reform. I mean, someone's got to shoot the Prairie Dogs.
Exactly. Well, you know, somebody asked me. They were like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, she's moving to the Prairie Dog guy's place. And they're like, the Prairie Dog guy's place? I said, well, you know, they've endangered the Prairie Dogs. And they're ruining their airports and blah, blah, blah with these Prairie Dogs. And it was last night. Peggy, she looked at me. She's like, Are you kidding? She goes, they're like rats.
that's just another classic California or classic example of Southern California folks not really knowing what's going on.
No, but at least she understood they were like rats.
Well, yeah,
so
they
I thought
are
that
like
was
rats.
Good.
Yeah.
She didn't want to save any. That was good too.
Well, that was good.
She's from
Orange County, and they're pretty conservative. Down
that's
there,
true
so,
too.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob. So the big
Lori's in the chat. Lori's in the chat room.
Oh,
asking,
sorry.
Who is this guy, Bill?
You'll find out.
Who is this Bill person? I know. You know, there's a lot of questions there. So, Bob, do we have to take a break, or do we get to talk to Mark now?
We can talk to Mark right now. Why don't we introduce him?
Okay, yeah. Let's do it. All right. So, Mark Baird. We have lots of people named Mark, so we've got to. We've got to differentiate here. And, Mark, I'm sorry. You're going to have to give us all the info on the radio station, you know, when we get to that part. So Mark's up in Scott Valley, and he has been working diligently on the state of Jefferson.
But he's a rancher
and he's
a pilot.
Yeah. All-around good guy.
All-around, yeah.
Yes, there is that. And at the moment, he is the president of Scott Valley Protect Our Water. And he was the president of Scott Valley Protect Our Water. So obviously he's good at that because he's backed by popular demand, which is a true story.
But being a pilot, the one big question I have, you know, and I want to get this out of the way early. Mark, have you ever heard, too low, too low, too low?
I've actually heard, I teach in the simulator as well, and I've actually heard that and more.
That and more. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's the other one that's terrain, pull up, terrain.
Oh, is that what it says?
It's part of the TAWS system, and they... it's terrain warning, terrain awareness warning system, and there's
terrain
the TAWS
awareness.
System, terrain anywhere you're going. Most big jets have a terrain awareness system, so if you start to run into a mountain or you get too close to the ground and the gear and the flaps aren't down, then the airplane starts screaming at you.
Yeah, planes and terrains probably don't go well
together.
That's
pretty funny, though, a terrain awareness. Yeah, because if you're in a plane, you shouldn't be having terrain.
You shouldn't have to, yeah.
There's so many rhymes.
Good.
Anyway, I won't do all those rhymes that just ran through my head.
Oh, we got plenty of time.
so
something about Spain and the plane.
Yeah, it's exactly where I was going to.
Well, we have a little saying, maintain your altitude or else the earth will arise and smite you.
I like it.
And then it's all about who was to blame.
Yeah, I could go on and on about that, too. I, you know, some of us probably could have written that accident report a year before it happened.
The one in San Francisco?
Yeah.
I forget what they say it was. The pilot, there were like five possibles for the pilot. It was...
Well, you're not going to go there, are you?
I don't know, anyway. All of a sudden, I couldn't think of it, but it was funny.
If you follow the line on the map and you stay at or above the number next to the line, you won't hit the dirt before you get to the runway. And there were a couple of things that went very wrong on that deal. And like I said, it's kind of a long story, but it's pretty interesting. Maybe another time.
Okay. We'll have a program about terrain awareness.
Yeah.
People will be like, you're what?
That's actually what the program's about today, though, is terrain awareness.
It is really about terrain awareness, and it's about taking our terrain and going home, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it's funny to me because this isn't the big fight that people assume it is. This is just a boundary line adjustment. The governor wants us to move because if we want to live in a free state and have representation, he says we should move. But what we want to do is leave our houses in one spot and move the boundary line to another.
Yeah, because he told us, didn't he tell us to go to Arizona?
Yeah, he said if we wanted to live in a conservative state with conservative values, we should all move to Arizona.
Darn it. And Elizabeth just moved to Utah, Philly.
That is such a challenge.
I should have told her ahead of time. I mean, what kind of a thing is that for a governor to say? It's like, well, you're all upset. Oh, who cares? There's not enough of you to, you know, I mean, that's the implication is there's not enough of you to make my life hard, so.
Well, apparently, and I've heard this from several people, when he gets into a meeting, the first thing he says is, well, I don't care because they didn't vote for me anyway. And I always thought when you were the chief executive, regardless of who voted for you, you represented all of the people, whether you liked it or not. That was your job. And apparently he doesn't like it, and he's not going to do it. And that certainly shows in our lives.
Yeah, it's not nice when, I don't know, at the end of the day, people have resonated with this idea of splitting California several times. I mean, it's one time got really, really close. Help me out. 1940.
Yeah, 1941.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is really a very, very different scenario because in 1941, essentially, it was about building roads to strategic materials, getting a road to a copper mine, and improving roads into the mountains so that strategic materials and timber could be cut. And this is so far away above that, it's really incredible. This is about an absolute complete lack of representation in Sacramento and the economic fallout from that lack of representation, and it's demonstrable. In fact, Elizabeth moved away, my son moved away, heck, everybody's kids moved away because there's no opportunity here, and they're not coming back because of that. That's what we really need to change, and we're in a position to do that. People are tired, and Sacramento continues to give us all the ammunition we need. Every time you turn around, some idiotic thing comes out of Sacramento that passes as legislation. Bay Delta just came out. It's a 9,000-page deal with a 25,000-page environmental impact report, and the Bay Delta Stewardship president says that his first job is to supply Southern California water exporters with water. And then his second job is, you know, to save the environment if that's kind of in the cards, too. And what that thing intends to do is reduce the flow of the Sacramento River in front of our house by 25%. And it's nothing more than a peripheral canal with an $11 billion price tag. And we're supposed to swallow that because we have no representation, and that we have to change.
Mm. Yep. And so when this all got started, I mean, this isn't a tough sell in our neck of the woods. I mean, the idea, just the, you know, the idea, the mechanics of it, okay, that's a big project. It isn't like it's going to happen with the snap of a finger, but.
Well, that's what I think where a lot of people get all hung up is the details. It scares them.
Yeah.
It does scare them, and status quo is a funny thing because all animals like status quo. No animal likes change. Human animal is no different. But quite frankly, what we're proposing is something that people already approve of. I know in Shasta County in 92, 73% of the county voted to separate from California. Tehama County, it was 75% of the people. Trinity County, it was 79% of the people. So people already favor this. And I think it's coming down to a survival mechanism. A lot of people are afraid of the change. They're afraid of the money. I know the Reading Searchlight is, well, you don't have a plan, and what are we going to do without the money? And, well, the answer to that is not what are we going to do without the money, because we make one mighty big assumption here, and that is that the sinking ship called California economically will continue to either want to provide the money or be able to provide the money infinitely into the future. And that's simply not the case. This debt train that we're on has got to come to a crashing halt at some point. And I submit that we need to get off before it gets to that point.
Before it Before what? It meets the terrain? Before it fails the terrain awareness?
Before the earth rises to smite us. So
it's usually the ship of state, I guess, in this case. We'll have to have the plane of state, otherwise it won't be funny. We need to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We're talking to Mark Baird all morning this morning, 8 to 10. You're listening to We the People Radio. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be back with you in 2 minutes.
Truth in that, once you go away, you don't come back.
But it's like the California theme song.
It is.
Wrong way, never coming back.
You know what you think about that? You leave California, and you can never afford to come back.
It's, not really.
You get used to living somewhere else, and you look back at California and go, how did I ever afford to live there?
Well, what's that guy at your work? Where did he move with the $43 auto registration?
He went to Wyoming or someplace. Yeah, I think it was Wyoming.
It was $43 for as long as you own the car.
Yeah. It's like, well, wow, that's a little different.
You know, you're going to come back here and it's, you know, $300 a year or whatever your deal is.
We're kind of like the frog in the pot of boiling water. You know, we are so used to paying and paying and paying in California. We don't realize just how much it does cost us to live here. Except people are
figuring that out pretty quickly. They're looking around. I mean, we live in a world with a lot of information.
Yeah. And, you know, before we leave that note, one thing I wanted to mention was Mark was talking about, you know, people leaving. When a family leaves California, it very seldom calculates out to one family because they always take people with them. You know, other families follow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, talk about erode your tax base. I mean, people are, you know, one person leaves and...
Yeah, my brother left, and then my other brother left.
Yep,
and
I'm not sure Elizabeth wants her family to follow her.
Bob!
Ow!
Don't follow me. So she's
just
not moving?
Kidding.
She's not moving to Utah?
No, but I...
Oh.
You know, she's...
I'm kidding. She like witness protection? Oh, sure. She's in Utah.
It's a unique experience for her to be somewhere where there aren't other family members.
Yeah. I know. And it's nice to blaze your own trail sometimes, but it's good to do it because you have, I mean, they actually did. They have a great opportunity to go do something there, but it is nice to know that you're having to look because you have to. And that's what's happening with a lot of people. They're looking around. They're like, okay, let's see. At this pace, how am I ever going to survive when I'm old? You know, forget how am I ever going to retire. I think that's like scribbled off everyone's list.
Yeah.
Just not doable.
But it's not like you're just moving across town. I mean, these people are uprooting their lives and never coming back. I mean, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. So, Mark, you know, for all the people that say that this won't solve the problem because it won't happen in time or something like that, I mean, I have my own answers, but what would you say to that?
Well, I'd say two things. First, to address the economic problems that caused most of the people to leave, and as you pointed out, they uproot their homes, their families, their entire way of life, you know, break bonds with relatives and friends that they've known forever and ever, and you know, part of the problem for us is that our economy right now in the counties that we hope will join the state of Jefferson is only 28% of what it was in 1994. So under the stewardship of Sacramento, we've lost literally 75% of our economic base. And when these people bail out, they're not the unproductive people. They're the productive people. They are the makers, not the takers. So So we need to find a way to stop that and reverse that trend immediately, and we need to find a way to invite people who make things and people who run productive businesses and provide opportunity for others to move into the North State or the state of Jefferson. And so that, to me, is very, very important. And then on the other hand, for people who say this won't happen in time, what I suggest is that we have to start thinking for the next 50 years. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for our children and their children. And as a speaker you had at the Tea Party pointed out so eloquently recently, our liberty and our freedom was purchased for us. It was a free gift. We didn't buy it ourselves. What we're trying to do is purchase liberty for our posterity. So it won't happen overnight. But it has to happen because we just don't have any choice. This is a matter of survival.
So when people say, we just need to elect more conservative people, I mean, I'll hold back the laughing, you know, the laugh track that should be playing in the background, but we just need to wake people up in California.
Well, Ted Gaines said, you know, the best thing the Jeffersonians can do is make sure I get elected as insurance commissioner.
Yeah, that was kind of a tough one.
Yeah, those are the types of conservative views that we have now. And in addition to that, someone else said, I believe it was the editor of the Searchlight early on in this deal, said, well, this will take away from the important work being done to save rural California or fix rural California. I'm paraphrasing,
yeah,
obviously.
Rather.
And yeah, my response was, what work? I mean,
exactly.
Name one or two things. I can't.
Yeah, well, you look at it, and we had spoken about this a few weeks ago, but, I mean, in Oakland, they buy pizza through bulletproof glass. I mean, their pizza parlors have bulletproof glass in them. So folks like that, when we talk about limited access to our forests or, you know, water problems or dams being pulled out, they have no clue what we're talking about.
No, they really don't. And even some of our own people don't. I believe one of the Redding City Council women said she couldn't possibly support a state of Jefferson because she couldn't imagine living in a state that doesn't have a professional baseball team.
Wasn't that something? I heard that. I was shocked.
That was sheer brilliance.
Yes.
And people said, oh, you're right. And they ran out of the room. Oh, no, they didn't. They kept laughing.
They stood there. I would have stood there with my mouth
with
open.
Your mouth hanging open, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so those are the kinds of things that we need to combat with the present governance, no matter who that is. And it quite frankly doesn't matter what your leanings are, common sense has to enter the equation, and we have a distinct lack of common sense in Sacramento towards the North State. In fact, we have no one looking at us at all except with the idea of what can they take next. And that's something we had better stop before we don't have anything left to give them.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the people in fairness to them, if it doesn't affect you at all and you have no knowledge of it, I mean, think about how many people don't even know. They've never been north of Sacramento, if they've been that far.
Well, we had the one Fox reporter who came up. Very nice young man, by the way. I really liked him. A great, great photographer with him. Just, you know, super people, great people. But he had to Google Siskiyou County to find out what road to take to get here. The governor's never been here. The governor before him has never been here. Most of the people in the legislature have never been here. So, you know, you have people who, and how easy is this? If your constituents are in Maywood or Bellflower, like 35 or 36 representatives in the state of California represent constituents in the greater Los Angeles area. So how easy is it to create a revenue generator when your people don't have to pay it? And the fire tax is something that we point to. It's not a deal breaker, but that was largely enacted by urban legislators whose people don't pay the tax. Well, gosh, no political fallout. Imagine that.
Sure. Yeah, if you can get $150 out of all the residents that mostly don't live in your district. I mean, if everybody who was affected by the fire tax stormed Sacramento on the same day, it'd be a drop in the bucket, really.
It would be literally a drop in the bucket. But we have got to stand up for ourselves. We have to create a state that has the federal model of government, where each county has representation, because I think one of the important things that dissenting justice in Sims versus Reynolds said, and also an article by a professor emeritus at Stanford Law who said that representation in the federal model was created by the founders for a specific purpose. No, senators do not represent votes directly. They represent states. And yet that those states are comprised of communities. Now, in Sims versus Reynolds, the one-man, one-vote deal, Justice Warren said, well, counties are not legitimate political designations. And perhaps that's true, perhaps it isn't. We really don't care because the fallout's the same. When we had representation by county in the state of California, those votes represented our communities and the wants and needs of our communities, and now they do not. They represent the wants and needs of Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco.
Exactly, and we do, we need to, we actually need to cover the Reynolds versus Sims decision because people are hearing that all over the place, and not everybody runs home and searches it up on their computer, reads it, and figures the application. And a lot of people don't know the effect of that or the history behind it. But since we got started screwed up this morning, do we have another break, Bob, that we need to do?
Yeah, we got to take one about now.
Okay, so we will be gone for 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio with Mark Baird. We're talking about the state of Jefferson this morning. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us here at KCNR 1460.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee.
We're back. Hey, you know, Mark, one thing you were talking about earlier was the small, with the small tax base in the north, we really don't make a difference. But actually, I think with being the small tax base, doesn't that almost work in our favor when we talk about splitting from California?
Well, I think, among other things, a lot of things work in our favor. Yes, we are a small tax base compared to the southern two-thirds of California, but our economy as the state of Jefferson would be about the same size, starting out as the state in New Mexico. So we're not the smallest state, we're not the least populous state, and we wouldn't be the smallest economy of all the states. We're around 45, 46, 47 in all three of those categories. One place where we really do hold down the bottom, though, in California, is representation. We're number 50 out of 50 for lack of representation among all of the states. And we're number 50 out of 50 for the worst-run state in the union 3 years in a row, California is. So I think that our tax base is something, yes, it is quite small. However, we would also have the opportunity to create a state with a favorable regulatory climate, a favorable business climate, a favorable tax climate, and our economy would flourish. It wouldn't be long before we had more jobs than people do those jobs.
Oh, I totally agree, and I think with the resource base we have in the north, I believe we could be one of the wealthiest states in the nation if, you know, we lift some of these regulations and
we start utilizing the resources.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have to mow the whole place down, but I mean, people use their resources all the time. That's why they're called resources.
Well, yes, and also in California now, we're harvesting less.
And you heard it here first.
We're harvesting less than 4% of the annual growth in all of our forests, and 96% is just standing there ready to burn.
Yeah, and right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, we have Mike Smith captive on hold. He had a question, comment, some other good stuff. Mike,
hey,
Smith,
Mike.
How you doing?
I'm real good. How are you guys?
Well, you know, Bill's still alive, and it's been 45 minutes, so I think he'll be okay.
I quit hyperventilating. I think I'm going to make it.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, I was going to say, we miss Elizabeth. She's so much better looking than Bill.
How can you tell? It's radio.
There
Come
you go,
on.
Bill. Sorry.
I'll just pull that knife out of your background.
I didn't know the camera was on this morning. My bad.
No, I can picture the two of them, and Elizabeth is just gorgeous. And Bill... I love you, buddy.
A road well traveled.
Listen, I would like to ask of Mark, what would be the number one selling point for us to give to the opposition in the South? The people are just dragging their feet. What is it that we can, the very best thing that they would like to hear for their reason to go ahead and go along with the separation of our northern part of the state?
Well, if you're talking about Southern California, a reason that they would want to allow us to separate or help us separate is that this is truly a win-win. First of all, they have problems in urban Los Angeles and urban Sacramento and certainly in San Francisco that we can't imagine there and can't really help them with. We don't contribute to their political discourse much, first of all, because we disagree with most of what they do, and second of all, because their living conditions are so diametrically opposed to most of us. It's something that we don't understand and we don't help with. And our living conditions and our circumstances economically with regard to our resources, the distance we have to travel, do things, our job situation, so on and so forth, they don't understand. And quite frankly, for 50 years, they've been trying to influence it and have done not only a poor job, but our economy has gotten more in more trouble all the way along through this management style. And their management style is not to come, not to look, not to know us, not to see what happens here, but yet to dictate policy to us as they imagine it should work from their city in Los Angeles or in Sacramento. And so the win-win would be they can concentrate their political power. They'd have very little opposition. They'd have most of the money, as they claim to have, and they would be free to do things that would help the people that live there. And we, on the other hand, we know we would win because we would be free to address our problems in the way we need to address them with local knowledge, local talent, local wisdom, and a bottom-up approach. And I see that as a win for Lower California and a win for Jefferson.
Okay, I got it. Good. Okay, yeah, that is a winning selling point for them and definitely a selling point for us. If I might make one little point here, something we're up against and we're going to get more and more up against is we have Friday's Daily News here, Red Bluff Daily News, and they cite a poll, but they won't say the name of the independent and nonpartisan survey group, but they cite this poll with terrible numbers for Tehama, saying overall only 25% will approve. And then they have some other numbers. They don't give any where they came from, and they're all bad. But my point is that we're up against it with our own newspaper here. And when you get down to the final battles, it seems to me that George Soros will be putting money in, and the unions, and when we get to the big battle, it seems to me that we are really going to be up against it in the money side of the deal.
Well, yes. Now, that poll that you're referring to, I believe, and all of the newspapers that are arrayed against us, so to speak, and the Reading Searchlight, for some reason has made it, has made the state of Jefferson its personal mission. And really what this boils down to is censorship and the control of the flow of information.
Yes.
For example, when I write a letter to the editor, Bruce Ross answers it. He doesn't publish it. So, no, I mean, and that in a sense is their attempt to sell newspapers, but there are a couple of things going on with that, and with all small town or small community newspapers, it's the same. First of all, when you hold the Reading Searchlight up to the light, you can see through it pretty easily. Mm-hmm. The paper's getting smaller and smaller, and they risk making themselves irrelevant by printing things that aren't quite true, or the facts are colored, or it's just misrepresentation of the facts. But now let's get down to that field poll. that was originated by the Sacramento Bee. It was rehashed again in the San Francisco Chronicle, Reading Searchlight. These guys don't really do journalism because they never leave the office. Yeah. They read a story somewhere, they plagiarize part of it, they rehash another part of it, and they print it again as their own. But that field poll is not a bad thing. This movement is 90 days old, and we already have, according to the Sacramento Bee, 28% of the voters in Southern California favor separation. That's not a bad number. Give us another 90 days and take that poll again.
Well, you were telling me the other day you got a call from a guy in Orange County. It's like, take us with you.
Oh, yeah, and I've had calls from guys in San Diego County and San Bernardino and Riverside and all over the Inland Empire. They want to go too, and as I spoke to the gentleman from Orange County, and by the way, is very articulate, very intelligent. He had run for statewide office before, so his take on this is that this must be done because the state of California is ungovernable in its present size. Oddly enough, that's what we're saying, and these numbers prove us out. So if we have time, and we have the time, because the schedule is of our making, not the opposition's making, those numbers are going to improve steadily, surely, and if we do our jobs correctly and we help people in Southern California understand why this is not only necessary, but it's a good idea, then I think it's going to be very surprising how that vote goes. And when you look at it, the conversation is already shifting. When we first started this, it was, where are the tinfoil hats? And then it became very quickly, well, this is never going to happen, but they might have a point. And now the Sacramento Bee is taking polls, and 28% of the voters favor separation, and we haven't even been doing this for half a year.
Well, hi, you have a poll in the Record Searchlight. I don't know when it started, but somebody shot me a link on the chat window, and it's up on the Record Searchlight in their polls. You've got 522 votes. 40% of the people said that the campaign is a waste of time. 36% said, yes, it's time to make Jefferson real. And then 20%, an additional 20, said yes, but I wouldn't expect anything to come of it. So you really have 56% of the people in this 500-person poll that are saying yes. You know, some think it's doable, some think it's not doable, but basically they're in favor of it. And only 2% said, I'm not sure, you know, what are the ups and downs, was the actual, they probably only 2% of them voted for that because it's a dopey thing to say, but, you know, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, and when you remember back to our history, only 3% of the people, they called them the 3%ers, took a country from the greatest military power on earth, and we're not even talking about a fight here, we're just talking about a boundary line adjustment. So our numbers are growing. I'm very pleased with how this has gone. I'm very pleased with how it's going in the future. We have so much going on. Next month, it's going to be really hard to cover it all. There are counties that are lining up for town hall meetings. There are counties that are lining up to vote. There are counties, more and more counties are interested every single week.
Well, I think if we can get that 20% educated, it'll be a slam dunk population-wise. Well, then we just have to cross the hurdle in Sacramento. But I think as people get more and more educated and become more and more aware of the facts on this, it really is a no-brainer.
All right, on that note, thank you, Mike Smith. We loved
you.
Having you. We're going to talk to you, I'm sure, on another day. Mike has been on our program before with music. So look in our archives, wethepeopleradio.us. Look for Mike Smith. And there's tons of fun music there. We'll be back with Mark Baird in 2 minutes. We need to thank our advertisers. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM.
There's a long black train coming down the line, off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train.
I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, and I don't care.
Right on. That's it. We just need to play that song some more. Hey, speaking of winning, Mr. Twain. Ooh. Owie. Mr. Clint.
I'm deaf. I'm deaf.
Damn it. Lost another co-host. Did I say damn it?
Yes, feel free.
Go ahead.
We've got Bob all busy. Bob's hands are busy. Is that a bad word?
Mark, we lost you. Call us back.
Oh, we did? Oh, we cut him off? Or?
No, he hung up probably because the dial tone was beeping in his ear from the other call.
Bad noises. Yeah, bad noises are bad.
We'll blame it on the bad noises.
So there was another poll, as I was saying. There's another poll that Mr. Twain sent in on the chat room, and these polls don't have dates. Does it have a date? No, no date. But the poll question is, would you support splitting the state of Jefferson from the rest of California? 906 people voted. Oh, there's Mark calling back. 906 people voted, and 68% of them, just on that simple yes or no question, said, yeah, split the state. So the first poll is, would you split the state of Jefferson from the rest of California? 68% said yes. 31 said no. There was no third question. But then when you break it out into a four-parter, 56% of the people said yes, with the combination of those two answers. So, it's interesting. It keeps coming up to the same number, so I guess I'm not sure why they say that nobody's in favor of it. That seems kind of nutty.
I think people are going to become in favor of it, but my concern is the population is going to be overwhelmingly in favor of a split. We just have to get the folks in Sacramento on board to allow it to happen.
Well, I think it's a numbers thing. Oh, are we here? Dang it. Well, Mark, gee, it's really nice you called back so you could be on hold for 5 minutes, but you get to listen to the news. That's your bonus right now.
All right. Okay.
Sorry about that. 3 minutes goes really fast when you're waiting for somebody to redial. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We want to chat with you in the chat room. And that is all. Bob, Aaron, and Bill will be right back. That's Elizabeth, by the way.
Hour number two of this, up next, at KCNR, Shasta at Redding.
Welcome back to... Oh my gosh, you are going to be a great co-host.
He's taking this Elizabeth thing literally.
It's true. He's going to be a great co-host. He comes zooming in and grabs his headphones, rips one of the little earmuffs off, and he's over there trying to get it put together. This is great. We are going to have fun. We are going to have our physical humor. Oops, and he headbutted the microphone.
We're back.
My goodness.
All right. This is not an easy job. Wow.
There is going to be entertainment. I'm so excited.
There's physical humor involved. I had no idea.
See, that's why we're always laughing in here, because it just keeps happening.
Elizabeth did a good job of training him.
She did, too, and stopped pulling that cord because my feet are wrapped around it, whatever that is.
Trouble. I think you were standing on my cord. Okay.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, it's fun for everyone. Okay, there. Okay, you got all your cords on your side of the room. All right.
Okay,
good grief, we had 5 minutes to get it together, but at the 11th hour, fumbled the ball. Okay, so if you're listening to We the People Radio, or you're trying to, we are here with Mark Baird this morning. We're talking about the state of Jefferson because it's fun, but this changes a lot, and there's been a lot of news. We did a program with Mark a while back. If you really want to see the changes, just look at how many counties. Let's see. Sally put this in the chat room. Hey, Mark, do you know how many counties they're meeting with, in the next, little town hall meetings and stuff?
Oh, yeah, I do. January 10th at Chico State or the Elks, we're not sure which one yet, in Butte. Two town hall meetings on January 11th, both in Glenn County. One at 11 a.m. in Orland at the Veterans Hall, one at 3 p.m. at the Willows Veterans Hall, and we have January 18th in Anderson at the Veterans Hall, and then February 5th and 6th at the Del Norte Fairgrounds, and actually there are probably going to be a couple others stuck in there as we go along.
see. And let's see. We've got Siskiyou County passed a okay, so we've got a list of things, all right? This is all the stuff that, I have on my list of things we really ought to get to before we end the hour. So this is our goal here. I'm going to give us goals. Reynolds versus Sims, we need to go back to that because we shouldn't gloss over that. It's very important. The cost of a split, what's the difference between the county putting this on the ballot and signing the declaration? And then just for good measure, I'm going to throw in there that for those of you that think this is like an old people's movement and that it's just a bunch of old disgruntled people, talk to people in their 20s because they are huge proponents of this and they're very excited. And moving it forward, doing a lot of work.
Well, jobs. Let's not forget about that.
Well, exactly. But the 20, you know, what we would call the 20-somethings are very, very much on board with this. So, okay, do the Reynolds versus Sims for people because a lot of us don't know the history. A lot of people out there don't know about that.
Okay. Well, it started really with Carr versus Baker. And that was where what one justice referred to as the Supreme Court jumping into the political thicket. And the Supreme Court has no business in that thicket, but they did it anyway. And that was where they decided that the federal courts would have jurisdiction over reapportionment of the several states. So that was the first nail. Then in Alabama in 1964, I think the case started, was the Reynolds versus Sims, or Sims versus Reynolds. And that was essentially to guarantee voting rights to Southern black Americans. And that was a noble cause, but it had far-reaching implications, not the least of which was that the Warren Court ruled that votes cannot represent acres or trees. Votes have to represent people. And so that ruling caused states, based upon the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment, that caused all of the states to have to go to a one-man, one-vote rule in both their lower house and their upper house, the assemblies and the senates of each state. Now, Warren claimed that the 14th Amendment, everyone has equal protection under the law, was the reason that this must be done and it was constitutional to do it. And that's interesting because you have to look at the history of the 14th Amendment. First of all, it was enacted during the Reconstruction period after the Civil War to make sure that states knew that the federal constitution was the law and that everyone would have equal protection under that law. But it also was never stated in the 14th Amendment that equal protection means one person, one vote. And in fact, many, many states had the federal model of government, which is one house by population, one governmental house by area. In fact, the United States government enjoys that. Each state has two senators, no matter how small or how big, no matter how sparsely populated or how densely populated. So the Warren Court ignored the United States Constitution to enact this progressive rule. And in addition to that, Warren claims that he had to do this because of the 14th Amendment. But oddly enough, many, many states had a federal model of government, in other words, one house by county and one house by population, both before the 14th Amendment and after the 14th Amendment. California didn't ratify the 14th Amendment until 1959, and we had representation by county from 1926 until 1965. So we had it both before the 14th Amendment and after the 14th. Then the court went ahead and it reversed itself in Baker versus Thompson in Wyoming, where the court ruled that even sparsely, I think it was Niobrara County in Wyoming, which only had 3,000 people, well, the court ruled that Niobrara County was entitled to a representative, even though it was sparsely populated because it was important to represent the views of the community. So the Supreme Court not only ignored the United States Constitution, but they ignored their own advice in subsequent decisions. And that's why we have to overturn Sims versus Reynolds, or we need to separate from the state of California.
Well, and for people who kind of want the thumbnail version to tell their neighbors, if you think about California, the geography is predominantly rural, you know. So if we were represented geographically, one person per county, that would be great balance. I mean, the assembly might want to, you know, be, you know, everything is urban centric, but our Senate would balance us out every single time. And now, we don't have that.
Well, oddly enough, in 1965, after Sims versus Reynolds, it was pretty dramatic between 65 and about 85. That was when California stopped working. In 1950, we had $5 billion worth of debt. Oh, and by the way, three times in California's history, through the initiative process, it was attempted to overturn the federal model and go to one man, one vote. And all three times, the last one in 1962, the voters of California overwhelmingly rejected changing from the federal model to one man, one vote. So the Supreme Court not only ignored the Constitution, but they ignored the will of the people. And that's when California's debt started to go out of control. That's when California's representation became so skewed that rural counties were starting to be ignored. And we have the logical result of that, where three cities in California run politics for the entire state.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, even the people who live in those cities know that that's messed up. Obviously not all of them, but it's amazing. People who live in those really urban areas, they like it up here. You know, there are people who like to come and rent houseboats, or they have cabins here, or whatever's going on. And they're frustrated, too, because they're oftentimes, if they own property up here, they get to do the same regulation dance that we all do.
Well, 28% of them already agree with us. Well, and we aim to change that number coming soon.
And I think, you know, Mr. Twain in the chat room there has been Mr. Pollster. He's been sending me these links to these polls. Thank you so much. Been very helpful. I think this was one of the first ones that came out. It doesn't give a date, but I remember this one. I remember voting in this one, and I think it was the first one. It said, it was right after Siskiyou County, and it said, Siskiyou County's Board of Supervisors has voted to ask the state legislature to let it create a new state. And proponents hope to attract other rural North State counties. Would you support withdrawal from California? Well, there are three choices on this one. Yes, no, and I'm not sure. Yes is 66%. No was 22%. And I'm not sure, someone would have to show me the numbers about whether or not we'd be better off, is 11%. So basically, the no's were 22%.
Right.
So, you know, just even on a knee-jerk response with very little data, it's 1,801 people voted in that poll.
Yeah, I think anybody running for office with those numbers would be really excited.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a good point.
But they would, unless you just need your baseball team.
I forgot about that.
You know, that is just such a wow. That is very wow. I'll leave it at that. So, really quick break. We're not going to disconnect you or go away for 5 minutes or any of that good stuff. No, we're not going to let Bill out of his chair. We'll be right back. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You are listening to Mark Baird talk about the state of Jefferson, and we'll be doing it for another 45 minutes. Absolutely, power. Idiot. My co-host is an idiot.
Whoa,
Elizabeth. Whoa. Elizabeth 2.0 is annoying. but he does have his headset on. So you're listening to We the People Radio here. We've got Bill, Aaron, and Bob all trapped in the studio, and we've got Mark Baird hostage on the phone with us. So, okay, how about giving us the rundown on the difference between a vote and a declaration, because now that has come up in Tehama County. So for people that are confused, give them the scoop on that.
Well, when we first created this concept, the modern separation, if you will, we were discussing ways that we would accomplish this through Article 4, Section 3. And what struck us at first was that very few people in the North State are against this. It was demonstrated overwhelmingly in 1992 conditions, certainly because 27 out of 31 counties, by popular vote, voted overwhelmingly to leave the state of California. There were very few of these that were close votes. Most of them were 60, 70, 75, 79%. So we tried to think of what the most efficient way to let the government in Sacramento know that we want to do this and we want to do it now and we're dead serious about it. And what came to us was, and mind you, none of us had ever split a state in half before, so as Richard Nixon said in 72, mistakes may have been made. But the method we came up with was the declaration by the county supervisors affirming their wish to remove themselves from the state of California or withdraw. We don't use the term secede because secede has connotations that it's one-sided. And this isn't. This is an Article 4, Section 3 state split. It's been done four times in our history. It's legal, moral, ethical, and its process is outlined very succinctly in the United States Constitution. And that is that nor shall any state be formed from territory contained with another state unless the state legislature agrees and Congress agrees. But we needed some type of governmental support and popular support to be able to go to the Legislative Council and asked that legislation be written allowing Jefferson to secede. So we selected a declaration by county because we could approach the Board of Supervisors, who represent the people in their county, ask them to affirm the declaration, and then once we had a sufficient number of these, we would go down to the state and we would present these and cause legislation to be written and get it submitted. Now, some counties have, well, Tehama County is the first one, but Tehama County chose to place the measure on their ballot, and the supervisors decided to do that themselves during a meeting we had with them a week or so ago. So the supervisors decided to ask the people to direct them as to how they wanted them to vote. Now, Tehama County voted 75.6% to separate from California in 92%. And we expect we're going to get the same result, maybe even better now. But it just slows the process down a little bit. And there is no legal reason for either a declaration or a vote. We just need the legislation and we need the legal description of the territory we want to separate. So this is a way we chose to do it so that we would have governmental support, we'd have popular support, and we could get the legislation introduced.
Sure, it's a good way to educate people, too, because if you try to do it from Sacramento, there's no way to have a dialogue there. So going county to county and town to town. So for the, let's just say the towns, Reading, who couldn't figure out that it was a good thing to support, what were they risking by supporting it?
Well, they risked nothing because the declaration itself, it's different from an ordinance or a resolution. A resolution, you would direct agencies within your governmental entity to do things. A resolution is the same thing. A declaration means you support a cause or you wish to advance a cause, but you don't. It doesn't cost the county anything. It doesn't cost the city of Reading anything. They don't have to do anything. In fact, they can't do anything. This is a movement of the people, by the people, and for the people. We have no big financial backers. This is a grassroots organization. People are doing this because they know it has to be done. It must be done. It's a matter of our survival. So all we're asking governmental agencies to do is to correctly represent the will of the people and allow the people to carry this forward. And they literally can't do anything. They don't do anything, and it doesn't cost them anything.
So opposing it, yeah. Because ultimately it's voted on in Sacramento and then the bill is carried at the federal level. And so, you know, if a city is for or against, it's just nice to have the conversation.
It's mandatory to have the conversation because this isn't going well for us. I don't know. Some governments haven't quite alerted themselves to that fact. And one of their biggest questions, well, we have two forms of opposition from governmental entities. Number one, well, we can't do that because it's too hard. That's ridiculous on its face.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah, and number two is, what are we going to do without the welfare money that California gives us? And that's very, very common from county administrative officers and city finance officers and so on. And what we're going to do is, we're going to work out our problems for ourselves. We're going to improve our economic base so that less people need welfare. California has 12% of the nation's population, yet we have 33% of its welfare recipients. Under California Covered, 180,000 people have signed up, and something like 120,000 of them were directed by their navigators into Medi-Cal. And you and I will be paying for those medical bills for all of those other people. Those are the kinds of things that, if we can correct that with a state constitution that protects the individual and protects his right to property and the use of the resources we were blessed with, we won't need the welfare money.
Sure.
See, Mark, I think you hit it right on the head right there. That's what I think the biggest fear people have is the free money. You know,
how would we survive?
How are we going to survive without, you know, Big Brother stepping in immediately and giving us the handouts? We have to somehow educate people to get off that train of thought. I mean, we don't need a handout.
If
we were just allowed to make a living and do what we do best, we don't need the free money. But that's, I think, where most of these counties and cities are.
We have a lot of our citizenry that's delusional, too. They think that we actually put more money into the state than we get out.
Right.
You know, what'll they do without us? Because we're putting so much in. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of misconceptions along those lines, and one of those misconceptions fundamentally is, and this is partly by intent of the government, that, you know, to me, the idea behind welfare was giving someone a hand who genuinely needed help until they could support themselves.
When
you look at the policies of California, we have more and more welfare recipients every year, so whether you agree with the welfare money or not, it's obvious that the program isn't working because we have more welfare cases now than we've ever had.
No, and I don't think it was ever intended to be a way of life, and that's really what it's turned into, is a way of life for a lot of folks.
It's not only a way of life, but it's multi-generational,
yes.
A multi-generational way of life. And we need to break that cycle and break it now, because I love this word now, it's unsustainable, just like the debt of California. I mean, California has $420 billion in debt, and the unfunded liabilities may be as much as $1.5 trillion. We need to break that cycle now, or we're all going down with the ship.
Exactly. And, we had some conversation in the chat room that... you know, it doesn't help when the media doesn't report fact. You know, when they won't actually put the word out about the actual facts about Jefferson, when it's just all this, it won't work, it's bad. Move to another state. If you don't like it, move to another state.
Also, too, you got to remember the people that are on these programs aren't being affected by this debt. It's the people that are working, and the people that are paying the bills are the ones that are going to be affected by the debt. So the people on the handouts, they don't care.
Well, and we also have a debt situation now, and a taxation and revenue situation now, where productive people are approaching that tipping point where they take a big look at it, and look, this is like a donkey cart. And early in our history, in the 50s and 40s, we had 20 people pulling the cart and 2 people riding in it. And now we're in a situation in California now where we have 8 people riding in the cart and only 2 people pulling it. And so those that are producing are looking back in that cart and saying, gosh, I'm only $100 a month from being better off jumping in the cart myself. And at some point, we will have no one producing, and we will have everyone with their hand out. And right now, California just joined 10 other states where more people are on either welfare or they work for the government than work for private companies. So we have now officially more takers than makers.
And that is a tipping point. That's one that does not go unnoticed by anybody.
No, and how do you reverse that trend? That is a dangerous place to be.
I know how. we separate from California.
Yeah, there you go.
We have a state constitutional framework that's immutable. One mistake California made is the Constitution is easier to change than your socks. So we institute our principles, cast them in concrete so that they are extremely difficult to change in the future. We start thinking 100 years down the road. We form a state that protects the individual's right to do business, and protects the people's right to use their resources and make a living for their families. That's how we do it.
Yep. That's it.
Yes. And, you know, it'll look like the Dakotas. You know, when they started drilling up there, I mean, they had a resource. People were able to make a living, and, you know, people flocked there. And it's not exactly like they have this, you know, these great beaches.
No. They certainly don't have enough houses to go around now. I mean, people are moving up there so fast, they're living in tents and trailers.
When you can draw them to 40 below, I think we can draw them here.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, another quick break. We are speaking with Mark Baird. We're talking about the state of Jefferson, its possibilities. If you've got questions for us, we forgot to give you the phone number, but we did actually want to hear from you if you want to call. It's 530-605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
All the leaves are brown.
World, do we, Bob?
A little hiccup there, Bob. That's okay.
Darn it. But everybody knows the song. See, that's the beauty of it. That was not an obscure song choice. Are there more words?
I hate it when the pause button doesn't work.
I hate that, too. I don't even know where the pause button is. So let's not worry about it.
I just love it when the beep button doesn't work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Fabian on the line. We gave out the phone number. Isn't that funny? We gave out the phone number and people called. What an idea. It's like radio or something. So, Fabian, you have a comment, a question, a thought?
Hi, yeah. Good morning.
Hi.
I just was listening for about 10 minutes, and I think it's a great idea. But I was wondering, I mean, what do you guys think about, it's not going to solve the overall problem of America and the proliferation of government. You know, what are we going to do about that? Seems like there's almost going to have to be another revolution because, you know, it's like once power gets hold, it just grows, grows, and grows. It's like a cycle, you know, that happens throughout history. I mean, you know, I think it's really sad, but it's criminal what's happening with our government and the income tax and everything.
May I answer that, Aaron?
I had you lined up. I had the sights squarely on you.
Well, Fabian, here's our problem, and we've created this problem ourselves. First of all, we don't get the government we deserve. We get the government we allow, and we allowed this to occur. And now here's our problem, and I get this all the time. We don't have the power as individuals or even large groups of individuals to turn to the federal government and say you need to behave differently. You need to behave constitutionally. So what we need to do is we need to learn how to do that locally first. And then we need to instruct other counties how to do it. And then when we have a group of counties, as in the state of Jefferson, we can turn to the state and tell the state this is what we need and want as constituents and voters. We want our own state. And once we've created a constitutional framework of the type the founders intended for this country, then we can turn to other states and say this is what we've done and we'll teach you how to do it. And when
I think the national constitution, I think one mistake that the founders made, and I mean, you know, I'm not someone who's in a position to criticize them, but they were awesome men, but, you know, to not put a more solid taxation framework in there, I mean, that opened the door for what we have now, you know, and it's the spiritual state of man that this happens, you know, so ultimately we have to have people have real faith so they don't have to live off of other people.
Yes, there's that, but
but it is us who did this. We're the ones that caused this problem, and we're the only ones that can fix it. And we fix these things using the constitutional process, using the legal framework provided for us by our founders, and banding together and instructing the people who serve us in government as to how we wish them to behave. And that's what we're starting to do now.
I agree, but you know, throughout the world, you know, once evil gets power, it's very, very, very hard to entrench it without violence. And I hope that doesn't have to happen, but I don't know.
Well, let's look at it this way. Tyranny never cures itself. Tyranny will continue unabated unless someone steps in to do something. And we are the people mentioned in the Constitution. And all just power from government derives from us. So we are ultimately in a position to instruct our government as to how we want them to begin to behave. And we can use the power of the vote to change that anytime we want to do it. But we have to act, and we need to act now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Right on. Well, thanks, Fabian. Glad you caught the show while you're driving along. So, Mark, let's see. We've got like 20 minutes left, so we're not pushed. What have we missed or just forgotten?
Well, what else did you have on your list there?
Let's see. Well, okay, so we kind of mentioned like the youth, you know, for all those people that think that everybody under 40 isn't paying attention. They're totally paying attention. Not all of them, but, you know, you never have all of anything. They are paying attention, and this is something that really captivates them. And is that what you're seeing at the town hall meetings and things that you go to? What's the complexion of that? Because I've missed the ones outside of here.
I'll talk about color first. The first few town hall meetings we had were pretty gray inside, and then as progress, there's more brown tint coming into the room, and even a few blonde-haired people coming into the room. So, yeah, we are seeing a dynamic shift in that, and this is important to young people because, quite frankly, their futures depend on this directly and implicitly. But it is up to us to provide that framework. It's up to us to pass along the wisdom and the knowledge that we have to empower these young people so that they can take the reins of government when we're gone. And believe me, they are going to be running things, good, bad, or indifferent. So it's very incumbent upon us to pass along the wisdom and the knowledge that we have and help them help us to get this fixed.
I think it's good that there is something happening. I mean, this isn't the only thing going on. While this is all going on, we still have to work on the things that are affecting us on the ground. I mean, we still need to deal with things at city council and board of supervisors and, you know, all that, because this isn't a snap your fingers fix. But
no,
it's something positive.
Right.
You know, for the first time in, you know, several years, it's a positive direction rather than something just reactive. We've done a lot of reacting.
We have done a lot of reacting. This is one of the first times in my memory that I can think we were actually out in front of an issue and directly impacting events, and you're absolutely right. We cannot stop paying attention locally. We cannot. Bay Delta is coming up. The water bond is coming up. That's an $11 billion boondoggle. We have debt ceiling hikes. We have California that's all of a sudden come up with a $19 billion deficit in the last couple of months of the year, even though the governor said the budget was balanced. We have all of these things to address, and we have local representatives that are good men and women, and they're trying hard. They're outnumbered, they're outvoted, but they need our support along the way, and we can't abandon those causes in pursuit of the state of Jefferson because, quite frankly, the two are not mutually exclusive. They go hand in hand, really, and they advance what we've been saying all along, that we don't have representation.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think sometimes this is also a different way to discuss how we're structured. I mean, think about all the education that you're bringing to people, because a lot of people didn't know that our representation used to be different. They didn't care. If they were alive back then, a lot of people didn't care, and it's like, how did we get so screwed up? And I've mentioned that to people, the complexion of the state Senate, and they said, oh, really? I didn't know that. That would make a huge difference. So, you know, one of the biggest reasons we've gotten to this point is lack of knowledge.
Well, it's a perfect time to present this too. I mean, there's so much unrest and people are so unhappy with the current state of our California government, and they're looking for something new, something different, something that'll get us out of this hole. And boy, this is it.
Yeah, it kind of captivates people, which is fun. Hey, so the one thing we haven't talked about is the actual mechanics of it. So we can't have people from Oregon, correct?
Well, we could have, but this isn't an Oregon issue. I mean, our problem with that is that we're Californians and we have the opportunity and the right to petition our own legislature, but we don't have the right to petition there. So if people in Oregon want to start a movement, we'll help them, we'll show them how, we'll show them what works and what doesn't work. And by the way, I communicate with the guys in Colorado and Maryland every once a week at least. And we share information about what works and what doesn't work and better ways to go about things, and governmental structures and lots of ideas are being shared coast to coast on State Split. This isn't exclusive to California. It is indicative of how people feel across the nation. So, but yes, it is an education process, and let it begin.
But wasn't there a movement, or isn't there a movement in Colorado as well?
Yes, there's one in Colorado, one in Maryland, one in Michigan, and other states have rumblings now.
It's like, get a clue, you know? I mean, for the people that think this is just a bunch of, you know, nutty people in California, obviously it's not, unless you're just not paying attention. So, okay, so let's say that, I mean, just for fun, let's just say we sawed the state off at Sacramento. And so the northern part of the state then has enough counties, enough support, the legislature votes and says, yep, I think it'd be better as two states. Let's just fast forward to that. Okay, so if they said that, what's the next thing that happens?
Well, the next thing that happens is legislation is introduced into the United States Congress and the United States Senate, and let's say we win there, and I admit we're not children here. This isn't a sure thing, but it's not something we're going to quit either. And if we don't win in the first case, we do have a plan B and a plan C, and we'll put those into action right away. We're never going to quit on this until it occurs, and that's just the way it is. And so our government has to make up its mind. We are not going away on this. But let's say we succeed on the first pass. At that point, committees of separation are formed, and the Constitutional Convention takes place where we decide our state constitutional framework, our governmental framework, the part-time legislature, where the capital is going to be, who owns the Caltrans bulldozers parked in Redding and Yreka, what happens to state formerly California-run facilities, and the million details. And this is going to be the most difficult part of the process, is how to adequately apportion those assets, which we helped pay for and helped construct, by the way, and also to apportion the debt. And this is the most important thing. If we go back to Sims versus Reynolds, and one man represents one vote, then also we could apportion the debt in the same way. So if we can get away from California now, we will own 3% of that $460 billion debt. If we wait 20 years, that might be $3 trillion, and we wouldn't be able to take that debt on. So the time is now. This must be done now.
That's a really, really good point.
Yeah, I never even thought of that.
Uh huh. Because your share. I mean, it's not. You know, it isn't like we went over to somebody's house and made a mess and we're ditching it. I mean, we actually get part of this. We have to take part of it with us.
We're responsible for part of it because we allowed government to spend that money, even though we didn't have representation, even though we probably opposed 90% of those programs and still do. Legally speaking, we are responsible for the debts that urban legislators have placed upon us. So the time to get away from that is now, while we still can.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. So for all the people that think it's a free ride, you know, it's funny. A lot of the people opposed to the free ride think this might be a free ride. There is no free ride.
No, there's no free ride, and it's not easy. And these people say, oh, it's going to be too hard. There's no way it'll happen. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. I mean, this is going to be a tough road.
I heard somebody say once, you can't sit down and slide uphill.
Oh, I like that.
This is going to be like that a little bit. Okay, so last quick break. I seem to keep saying one more quick break. And we will be right back. We're talking to Mark Baird about the state of Jefferson and all the possibilities thereof. See you in 2 seconds.
I'm sitting down. I'm going to try to slide uphill right now.
I think that's Bill sliding uphill right now.
Oh,
you're right.
Go. Woo!
Okay, it didn't work. It was a...
I just slid uphill.
No, you're supposed to say you've joined We the People Radio,
oh,
knucklehead.
Darn it.
Darn it.
I am so green.
Yeah, he is. God love him, though. He did hit his head on the microphone the very first show, so I'm happy. It's going to work out. What do you think, Bob?
I think he's got a great future with this program.
Oh, the confidence.
And we can make fun of him, and he's still in the room. Hey, so our time is running short, but we have Fred on the line. Every time we give out the phone number, people call. It's the craziest thing. Fred?
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, my question is with this proposed annexation, what effect is that going to have on our prison system, like High Desert and Pelican Bay and so forth? I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for joining us. All right, Mr. Baird, what about the prison deal?
Well, as we spoke of before, the assets that would be apportioned would be all assets that were constructed at the direction of the taxpayers of California, and certainly the North State is part of that body. So we could imagine that a fair allocation of assets would be those assets that lie within our new boundaries, and those would include those prisons. Now, if California needs prison space, we could certainly rent them the beds.
Yet another resource we provide. We could certainly rent them the beds. I like that. So what about all the, AB 109 and the prison releases and all that jazz and... those are all things that get hammered out when you make the Constitution.
I say we send them back to California.
Exactly. But I wonder how they do decide that.
Well, we typically do house prisoners out of state. California does that now. I'm sure that, a lot of those practices will continue. But there are a couple of important points you hit on that I'd like to touch on before we run out of time. One thing that people say is part of our problem is that a lot of the federal regulations that have caused our economies to decline won't go away. But what we're saying is with the correct state constitutional framework, we would be in a position to hold out our hand as a state and hold the feds at arm's length using the 10th Amendment and demand that the federal government follow all of its own rules prior to enacting plans or programs in our state. Now, what we've run into in Siskiyou County is 90% of the time they can't do that because they don't even know what their own rules are, and they refuse to follow the law themselves. They merely insist that people follow the law while they remain above the law. So using the 10th Amendment, we could eliminate probably 90% of federal government interference. And then once again, committees of separation in a very, very strong constitutional framework would be our defense against these programs creeping in the future, if you will.
Nice, because that is really important. It would be absolutely ridiculous to go through all of this and then just run pell mell right into the same disaster again that we'd have to fix.
Yeah, I mean, people say, well, would we have the same idiots running our state that we did California? The answer is absolutely not. And we can protect ourselves with a constitutional framework that's appropriate to our culture, our heritage, our way of life, our values, our morals, and the way we want to see life conducted in a free state. We can protect Second Amendment rights. We can protect our ability to use resources. We can, through a constitutional framework, institute provisions and protections so that people will be treated equally with fish and rats and squirrels and spiders. I mean, there are a lot of there are a great many things we can do as a state that California will not stand up for the County of Shasta when the County of Shasta tries to do those very things.
Oh, that, I just think there's just so many things that would change very, very quickly. I think it would make people's heads spin.
In a good way.
In a good way, because we're
not the
we're
spinning
just,
and throwing up like the Linda Blair way.
No. But we
just thought I'd clarify
it,
that.
It would be such a different world. I mean, if we just got rid of the regulations and these silly laws, and I mean, they're just
We get rid of the bathroom bill.
There's so many things that would change. People would I think be shocked.
Hey, Mark.
One thing we've got to fight is we have to fight establishment politicians because, quite frankly, they're the biggest stumbling block, not the people. We go to places and we speak to county supervisors and city administrators, and they'll look you right in the eye, and I've had this conversation, I can't even tell you how many times, where they say, I agree with everything you say. I support all of the ideas. I support the fundamentals which you're trying to put forward.
But
I support the concept, but I can't vote for it. I can't vote for it. Well, why not? Because someone in the machine didn't tell me it was okay. That's one answer. It's too hard as a second answer. And I just can't live without that welfare money. And those are people who fundamentally are conservatives, by the way. So we need to change that dynamic. The people must begin to speak up and speak now.
Well, if there's somebody out there, let's just say there's somebody out there who really hasn't given this much thought. I mean, they know things are kind of goofed up, but maybe they're not really being affected by the regulation, so they're not real passionate about it. And they were thinking about bringing it up to their friends or family or whatever. Where's the good place to go, and where's the pitfall? Like, what's the first thing you're going to hear from people, and how do they get over it?
Well, the good place to go is jeffersondeclaration.net, and we do our level best to keep that updated. That's where all of the day-to-day information, the speaking points, copies of the declarations, that's where you can find all that information. The biggest stumbling block is people say, well, it's never going to happen. Their friends are going to look at you and say, well, it's never going to happen. Yeah, all that's great. I love it. I'm for it. In fact, I'd vote for it, but it's never going to happen. Well, that's the attitude, and that's the conversation where we're working very, very hard to shift that conversation, and we're succeeding. It's already changing.
Oh, I totally agree. I think the numbers are going to be there. People are getting educated, and every poll that is out there is continually leaning in our favor.
Mm-hmm. And so
we need the good people of the state of Jefferson also to contact people in Southern California and help them understand and help them to help us by putting pressure on their legislators as to why this is a win-win.
Correct.
And why it must be done.
Yeah, that's a really important point too, because if we don't have, I mean, if it does it go to a state vote, or is it the legislature that votes, or is it the people in the state, or is that it could go either way?
Article 4, Section 3, it's only the legislature. There's no popular vote required, but the popular vote puts those guys in their chairs.
Absolutely.
So we need those people to put pressure on their legislators and to educate them as to why and how this should be done.
Nice. Okay, so if people want more information, jeffersondeclaration.net. If you want to know more about all that good stuff, wethepeopleradio.us. We have a whole page up there with Robert's got all sorts of good things on there, videos, and got a good cartoon. We've got the Titanic going down labeled California, and then little lifeboat going out as the state of Jefferson. So if you need a visual, there you go.
I love that cartoon. I think that's great. Hey, can I put in a shameless plug for KSIZ?
Yes, please do. I was just going to go there. You go there.
KSIZ, classic rock, and it reaches from the Oregon border down to Corning, 102.3.
Nice. And your other channel is?
It's KSYC Siskiyou Country, and that's 103.9. And it's from the Oregon border down to just about Lakehead.
Cool. We're going to add those to the page, too. We just didn't get that in time.
Thank you. I appreciate one shameless plug after another.
No, we like shameless plugs. We're big fans.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, for coming on. I mean, you're a wealth of information, and keep up the fight. I know you will.
Awesome. Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Absolutely. We love the state of Jefferson. We think it's fun because we'd like to stay here. Although we'll miss Elizabeth, we don't necessarily want to have to move to Utah.
She'll be back.
So thanks, everybody. Another great week. Next week, we'll be talking to Dr. Enstrom, the California Air Resources Board whistleblower. So tune in next week another episode of Bill, Bob, and Aaron. Bye, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Bill, great job.
We're going to work on getting up earlier next
Adios.
Week, too, by the way.
And, Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks again, guys.
All right, the Don Shellman Show is next here at AM 1460, KCNR.